Amen. Thank you, Martin. Hi, everyone. It's good to be with you today and to see you. Such a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to gather together and to worship Him. Today I'll be speaking on letting down your nets. Letting down your nets. So we will look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But before I read that, I'd like us to just have a quick look and a brief summary of the gospel according to Luke. The message and summary of Luke's gospel can be summarized in Jesus' words to Zacchaeus, as Luke records them in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The activity and teaching of Jesus in Luke is focused on lifting men out of their sins and bringing them back into life and hope. In Luke chapter 14, verse 1, we read, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the wilderness." And then in Luke chapter 4, 14, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district." So leading up to verse 5 that we'll be looking at, chapter 5, which we'll be looking at, we see that Jesus is focused on his mission, and that is to seek and to save that which was lost. How will he accomplish this? Well, word says Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus begins his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed to rely on the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry, where does that leave you and I today? We need to start afresh. We need to start and pick up that heart of God that we heard about last week from Tracy, where he turns a hard heart into a soft, pliable heart, a heart that loves him and loves people. We need to start a ministry afresh. I believe Stroud Christian Fellowship, we need to start afresh. We need to look at the ministry of Jesus and let's start at the beginning all over again. But we need to start as Jesus did, full of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're having a meeting, as Martin's just shared, next Wednesday. Come hungry, come thirsty for more of the Holy Spirit, so that we can pick up the heart of God, that we can receive a fresh anointing to go forth and do the work of God. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter. That's just a brief summary of what took place to set the stage, if you like, for chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And I'm going to read that to us now. "Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said, 'Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. In Luke chapter 5, verse 11, I see five C's. Five C's. The first we can find in verse 2. And Jesus saw two boats and fishermen, and he saw Simon and made contact with Simon. The first C that I see there is the word contact. Jesus made contact with Simon. Here Jesus comes, he's full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to people, but yet he looks around, and there he sees two boats, and he sees Simon. Amongst all the people out there, we need to learn to make contact, just as Jesus made contact. When we are full of the Holy Spirit and focused on the mission of Jesus, we will see people. We will have a godly desire to make contact with people. We will have a desire for them to meet and to know Jesus. I want to encourage you to make a list of family and friends. Make a list of acquaintances, neighbors. Pray for them daily. Start praying for them daily. Allow God to give you a heart and an opportunity for you to make Jesus known. Look for opportunities to make contact. The second C I find in this scripture is the word challenge. Challenge. Verse 4, Jesus challenges them. He says to them, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." In John 21, verse 6, we read something similar as John records this. It says, "Cast your nets," where Jesus says to them, "cast your nets on the right-hand side." Some versions say, "Cast your net on the other side." We could say, today's talk is about letting down your nets, or letting down your nets on the other side. Letting down your nets on the right-hand side. Not the wrong side, but the right-hand side. Simon was challenged. They were challenged. Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets. Simon replies, "But we have been fishing all night and caught nothing. But at your command, I will let down the nets." You see, Simon rose to the challenge. He could have found every excuse not to. "But we're tired. We've been fishing all night. There are no fish out there. We've tried all night. There's nothing there. We are hungry. We don't feel like it. It's too inconvenient." He could have had perhaps a pathetic approach and said, "But the fish don't swim into our nets." When the challenge comes to you and I, will we falter? Will we draw back? Will we find excuses? Stroud Christian Fellowship, the challenge has come to us. We might not realize it. We might not see it. But the challenge has come to each and every one of us. It's generally known that the best form of evangelism is personal evangelism. That coupled with small groups is the most effective form of evangelism in today's society, as per the church growth experts. So personal evangelism coupled in small groups is highly effective in evangelism. The challenge has come to us, each and every one of us. Do we recognize it? Will we draw back? Will you join a small group? We've been called to be part of small groups. Have we responded? Have we responded well? Will you make an excuse? It's too far. How can I drive to the other side of the valley? I'm too tired. I've worked hard all day. I'm too tired. I'm too hungry. I want to stay home and cook myself a lovely meal. But it's too cold. This is England. It's too cold. How many jumpers will I have to put on to get out there in that weather? Can't you see it's snowing? What other excuses are we going to make before we respond well to the Lord? But why join a small group? It's a waste of time. The fish don't swim into the nets. What are we going to do in a small group? Is there anything we can learn? I love that prayer that Elizabeth just prayed spot on today. She says, Jesus, you've called us to follow you individually, but not only individually. You've called us to follow you in a group together. When I heard that prayer, everything within me said, yes. You see, it's a togetherness. Together we follow Christ. So I want to encourage you that we need to become part of small groups. That's what leadership is calling us to, and that's what God has called the leadership to lay down before us. Then we need to respond well. You see, each one of us does have a story. We all have a story of how we responded to Jesus and how Jesus found us and ran after us as never let us go. And the way he drew us in, we all have a story. Carl and I were privileged to be at Roy and Shirley's last night for a meal. And Roy was just sharing how he became a Christian. And I thought, this is great news. This is wonderful. People need to hear that story because it's so different. It's unique. And every one of us, God has called us in different ways. And we've responded to him in different ways. We all have a story. Begin to write your story down. Begin to prepare your story. Begin to ask God, what shall I do? How do I make this story short but punchy and catchy? The people want to know more. How can you use my story, Lord? He's wanting you to share your story. I'll just share something quickly of my story. I remember we were recently married, and I don't know whether I've shared this with you, but lying in bed one night, and it was 20 to 12, we lived opposite the town hall, and I woke up, and I felt God say to me, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I didn't go to church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, tossed and turned, couldn't get to sleep. I woke Carla up. Hey, wake up, get your Bible. You've got a Bible, you read your Bible. Read this. There must be a scripture. Ephesians 4:11. There must be a scripture. And she found it for me, and I read it, and where the Lord says, the Bible says, some will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the building up and the edifying of the body of Christ. And I lay there, and I read this, and I realized God was calling me to something that I didn't know what, but he was calling me to something. I continued reading Ephesians chapter 5, and it said, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And as I read that, I felt God say to me, "Trevor, I've woken you up out of your sleep, but I actually want to wake you up spiritually." And I lay in that bed and I said, "Lord Jesus, I don't know how you do it, but I'm available. I want you to come and be in my life. I want you to wake me up spiritually. That's your desire." And from that time, my life changed. I wanted to go to church. Things just became different for me. And so we each have a story. We all have a unique story. And so won't you do two things? Make a list. Start praying for people earnestly, but pray for opportunity to share your story. Write down your story. Prepare your story and pray your story through. Ask God for an anointing to come as you share that story, and you will see what will take place in your life as we are obedient to that. You see, letting down your nets on the right side, letting down your nets on the other side, letting down your nets at all, it's a step of obedience. Jesus wanted to test the obedience to see whether they would obey and do what he was calling them to do, because he knew he had so much more for them. And so he said, "Let down your nets. Go back again." He knew they'd worked hard all night. He knew they were tired. He knew they were fed up. But he sent them out again. "Set down your nets for a catch." They obeyed, and we see what God did with them in the rest of the scriptures. Okay, so let's respond to the challenge. The third C that I see is the word catch. Catch. We read that in verse 6. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish." A great quantity of fish. You see, God is faithful. He longs for his people to be obedient. He longs to send out his people. He longs to say, "There's the harvest field. Now go." Jesus sent them out two by two. And then we see later he sent them out at 70 at a time. He sent them out to do his work. Will he find 70 here to send out? SEF, the question is, will he find 70 to send out? My prayer is that he will find 70. My prayer is that the minimum of 90% of SEF people that are part and consider themselves part of the body of Christ at SEF is that 90% will join small groups in 7 weeks, within 7 weeks. That's my call to you. My departing call is for you to become part of a small group, share your testimony, share your story. Will you be one of those 70? Will you respond well? Will you obey the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, 70 people is only 10 people per week saying, "Yes, I'm signing up. I hear the challenge. I hear the call of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, this stride can be changed within a year, within 2 years, if people respond well to the call of God and begin to take what we learn in Scripture and begin to put flesh to it and begin to live it out. I really believe that. Okay, the fourth C that I read is the word crisis. Crisis, verse 7. They signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. What a lovely crisis. Lovely crisis, manual for a church to have, wouldn't you think? Small groups bursting at the seams. What a wonderful crisis. Not enough chairs in my lounge. Wonderful. Lovely. Sunday mornings, bursting at the seams. People looking through the windows. They can't get in. They can't fit in. What a wonderful crisis. Wonderful for the leaders to sit down on a Sunday night and say, what are we going to do? There are too many people. Should we chase them away? No, no, no. Find a bigger facility. Let's buy a building. Let's do something. But God is moving and God is drawing his people. What a wonderful crisis to have to work through. Lovely stuff. But you know, it's interesting that when they signaled to one another, hey, come and help. Come and help. I can't pull up these nets. The other boat actually came and assisted them. I want to do something prophetically today. I would like us to send out a prophetic signal through these valleys. And a little birdie told me, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before, but a little birdie told me that there's someone in the fellowship here that whistles at a blackbird. Do you remember that, Rog? Remember that story? And he was said, yeah, there's a blackbird. I even know where it perches itself on the top of that conifer. And this lovely gentleman in this fellowship, he whistles at that blackbird from time to time, and the blackbird whistles back at him. I thought, what a wonderful story. He's not here today. It's Steve Morris, by the way. And I was hoping you'd be here because I want to hear that whistle. But I'm going to ask you if you know how to whistle. Who knows how to whistle? Okay. I can imagine Harvey's got a big whistle. Can let it go, Harvey. But you know, I if you don't know how to whistle, then just say, I'm whistling for help. I'm signaling for help. But I want us to do something crazy, you might think, but a prophetic whistle through these valleys that will echo and resound through the valleys, that God and the angels would catch up and say, listen to my people, signaling for help, signaling, calling the people into small groups, calling them into leadership, calling them into Sunday mornings. And so on the count of three, can I ask you to whistle? Okay, let's give it a try. One, two, three. Fantastic. Okay, that was so good, we're going to do it again. That was just a practice run. Can we do it again? Didn't hear you, Emmanuel. God whistle. Okay, let's do it again. We whistle prophetically over these valleys. We say, listen to the call of God. Hear the call of God. Hear the signal of God. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I feel God saying, there was once a time in this nation where the church bells begin to sound. There was a time when bells began to ring throughout this nation. And people were called, called by the tones and the rings of church bells. But God would say to us today that the voice of man will arise. No longer will the bells call and signal to men and women in this nation, but the voice of man will arise, and I will cause the voice of man to arise and the voice of women to arise in this nation once again. For centuries ago, my voice was heard clearly in this nation, clearly through the voice of man. And yet again, will the voice of man be heard in this nation? For the enemy has come and silenced the church bells. He has silenced them one by one. But know that I'm doing a new thing. It was never my intention for church bells to call men unto me. But it was the voice of man. It was heart to heart. It was deep to deep. It was always my desire. And know this day that my spirit is upon you. My spirit is upon you, declares the Lord. And I will use your voice to call men and women unto myself. Be ready, be prepared. Be prepared for a fresh anointing. Be prepared for this mighty end day harvest. Begin to do my work and you shall see. You shall see my voice growing stronger and stronger and louder within each and every one of you. For this is the day that I've called you to. This is the day to boldness. This is the day that you ought to pick up the sword of the Spirit. This is the day that you pick up the word that is within your heart, and you begin to declare and begin to use like a mighty soldier the word of God that is within you. Arise, my people, for this is your day. This is your day. Thank you, Father. Martin, I feel God is saying to you today that your race is not yet over. Your race is not yet over. There is much that I'm leading you into. There's much that I have prepared for you to do. There's much leadership that I've placed upon you. And you will see the desires of your heart that I placed within your heart many years ago. That time is about to break forth upon you. It is about to break forth upon you. Draw men and women unto you. Draw leaders unto you and begin to lead. It's the last couple of miles in the race that become heavy and difficult. But know that supernaturally, I will anoint you for this task, and I will carry you through my grace and through my power and through my anointing across the end line, declares the Lord. Tracy, I see the Lord would say to you today that you are, as it were, a kickstart on a motorbike. I see Stroud Christian Fellowship like a motorbike, and God would say to you today that you are the kickstart. And he says, I will place things upon your heart, and as you begin to be faithful, you will kickstart. You will kickstart Stroud Christian Fellowship into something new and fresh. A mighty, mighty army reaching out for me. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be ready, for this day comes upon you. I see Kim as the tiller on a yacht. And I see God using her to give some direction. I see Kim, she's not here, I know that, but if someone can carry these words to her, please. She has a sensitive, a soft heart that hears the voice of God, and God will use her as that tiller. Wendy, I see you as a compass. I see you as a compass. I see God looking down and looking and anointing you more and more as a compass, as leadership draw you in for direction. I see you giving direction. I see you having the ability to find and point to true north. And God says, keep pointing to him. Keep pointing in truth and giving direction. It's a calling of God upon your life. Roger, I see God's hand upon you. I see him giving you the anointing to differentiate between truth and distraction. I see God anointing you very clearly not to be distracted, but he says, stay within the tram lines, the railway tracks of truth. There's an anointing, there's a teaching, a very powerful teaching anointing that God wants to bring you into and release you into. But he says, I'm looking for a servant that would remain faithful and remain true to my word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Harvey, I see God and Denise. I see name tags upon you. Coach. Team coach. Working together as a coach. There's an anointing coming upon your life to recognize gifting that God has placed on people's lives. And it will become so apparent to you as you begin to talk to people, you'll just recognize this gift upon them. And God is saying, it's your calling, it's your ministry to draw people, to recognize this as he gives you this discernment, is to draw people forth and draw that gifting out of their beings, to draw them in, to help them, to coach them, to encourage them, and to release them more and more into their gifting. That's the call of God. And he says, be faithful to that over this next season, because God is going to be releasing giftings more and more upon each and every one of us here. You need to be coached. You need to be released into that as Harvey and Denise work alongside Martin and Sue in recognizing and releasing giftings. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to touch briefly on the last C that I see now, please. Is the word comfort. I read in verse 8. When Simon saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord. Jesus had accomplished his mission. At that moment, when Simon fell down at the feet of Jesus and he said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Leave me alone. Depart from me. I'm not good enough for you, Lord. It was at that moment where Jesus knew that he had come to seek and to save the lost. He knew that he had accomplished a work in Simon's heart. He knew that Simon was at a place where he had submitted to Jesus and surrendered to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 10, Jesus comforts them and he says, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. And I want to prophesy those same words. Stride Christian Fellowship, do not fear. As you obey Jesus Christ, you will be catching men. You will be catching men. You will be drawing men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their nets to land, They left everything and followed him. Elizabeth's prayer. They left everything and followed him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you hear the call of the King today? Will you accept the challenge of Jesus today? Will you lay down your nets? Will you lay down your excuses and leave all behind to follow Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? God bless you. Thank you.